Turn this morning to 1 John, book of 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read verse 8 through verse 10. Title of the word is Greater Than the Temple. He said, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, do you see it? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. That's an incredible statement. He that's born of God cannot sin, because his seed, God's seed, remains in him. He can't sin, because he's born of God. And this, you say, well, it doesn't apply to me. Well, you better read verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Manifested. That's a pretty simple word. Made known. Okay? And that is, we know these things. We say, we know these things. We know these people. We must. And at some point in your life, it shall be manifested what you are. It must be. It has to be. And I'm not talking about that you're a carpenter or a whatever. What it is that you are manifested to be in Christ. Now we know that we are all at some point as an unclean thing. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 says, We were by nature children, were, past tense, by nature children of wrath. But thus was Christ manifested to what? Take away our sins. And when Paul speaks of this, he says, And such were some of you. Past tense, were. So I want to talk about the tense that we're to live in. Are. I fear that we go through life assuming everything concerning eternity is all right. Matter of fact, I know that's so. I've done this for too long. As if all of our acquaintances, all of our family, they're all heaven bound, including ourselves. And that's the way we look at it. So you say you're a child of God. So you were created, you were manifested for what? For what were you made known? Now today it's all flesh. All you got to do is look at sales and marketing and you'll see that thing. We saw a commercial this and it showed this gal and it said it was all about her. And she said she was her own biggest fan. That's why I sent that deal out that a fellow had sent me, the Jeopardy, you see. There is a great blessing of grace in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, and we'll look at it perhaps forward, that, I don't know if you remember this, that there was one, it's the title of the message, one greater than the temple. That's an amazing statement. I love the Bible because things that it seems that others just don't look at, they just stand out to me. One greater than the temple. When are we going to stop worshiping the temple? You know, in the Old Testament, even when it said the kings did right, and then they list all the kings, and he went, but he said, and there was always a but there, but they never removed the high places. They had them some religious place. It might have been a grove. It might have been a bush. It might have been a cross. Well, they didn't have a cross in the Old Testament, but today it is. Today it's stained glass windows and crosses and bricks and altars and you might even have something in your home, a picture. When I was growing up, everybody had a picture of the Last Supper or some such thing. When are we going to stop worshiping the temple? Because there's one greater than the temple. And there is a liberty from the law of sin and death. And that liberty is Christ. And Paul spoke expressly of that. If you turn to the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 7, when he spoke somewhat of his own experience, his own testimony. If you want some heavy reading, read Romans chapter 7. I want to read you verse 9 through verse 14. And I'm not going to go into it in detail. It's something that you should go into in detail. Paul said, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came," remember what we're talking about? One greater than the temple, what were you manifested for? "When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold unto sin." Now there's the journey from death to life right there, or you might say from life to death. It's interchangeable in a way. It's paradoxical, you see. And for this, Paul was manifested. For this. As one born out of due time, he said. He was like the 13th apostle, and he was born out of due time. And so, where does that leave you? For what were you manifested? I'm asking of your spiritual sojourn. We all have one if we be in Christ, because he's greater than the temple. Not a religious life, you see. Not merely a religious life. We do these things, and we've all done them in our past, and we dress a certain way, and we talk a certain way, we eat a certain way, and we worship a certain way. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about one greater than the temple. The apostles did all that prior to Pentecost. More. Far more religious than us, you see. But it was after Pentecost that the manifest appeared. You know, ships have manifests. It's what's on board, you see. And Jesus, he told him, he said, "I've got to go. I've got to leave." Because he said, otherwise this thing won't be manifest. It won't be made known. He said in John 14:20, at that day ye shall know that I am. That I am what? In my Father. Now listen to it. And ye in me, and I in you. Greater than the temple. I preached last night. He's not looking for sacrifice. He's looking for mercy. That which was not flesh. Are you such as those as they travel on their journeys in the book of Acts, and they said, "We've not so much as even heard there even be a Holy Ghost." You remember? Religious people, devout people, believers. And so I ask where he is in your life. Ye and me. I and you. You pray. People always say, well, the Bible says you can't even do that without him. You can't even do that right. That we can't even pray without the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is where you need to hear. Have you but imagined the Holy Ghost? See, the mind is a very powerful thing. God separated the people at Babel. You know why? Because they imagined. Preached on that years ago, remember? And I believe that so many people imagine Christ. And they imagine the Holy Ghost. That's why they went to high places. That's why they sacrificed in the high places. They worship in the temple, but there's one greater than the temple. And so our religion becomes an invention of our own mind, that which we perceive. I found it with most. And they become their own religion. I'm my own biggest fan. I'm my own religion. Well, I've got this thing with God. You can't imagine how many people. Word imagine. You can't believe how many people are such. Never truly baptized in the Holy Ghost. Christ in me. Ye in me. And I'm in you, he said. The counterfeits are stronger here than in any aspect of religion. Angels of light, ministers of righteousness, tongues, miracles. And those things, magicians and pharaohs, they can counterfeit those things, you see. And so as Babel, we imagine, we do. We pray, go to church, and read the Bible. You ever hear? Haven't we prophesied? Haven't we cast out devils? Haven't we done many wonderful works? But they never got this lesson that there's one greater than the temple. And that's why he warns us in the Bible that make sure that the light's in you is not darkness. Remember, I preached on that years ago. How can it be that the Bible is not real to you? How can that be? We say we believe. We say it's the Word. But then we read of faith that would move a mountain. We read of Peter. You remember, people would try to get in his shadow to get healed. Where'd God go? Now we think that this is God, and this is God, and that's God, and that's God, or that's God. But there's one greater than the temple. Where did God go? Has he left the building? And so I'm asking you this morning, for what were you manifested? Where'd the Holy Ghost and the demons and miracles of this book go? Is it just a storybook? Is it just a history book? A book of tales? Is it but a temple? If these things can't be manifested in your life, you hear me? In your life, what are you? Just one who reads a book and believes it? Thousands do that every day. The devils believe and tremble. Do you just believe something's good for you? Better than going to hell. Well, it's a good moral way to live. Or do you know it because of one greater than the temple, because of what you were manifested for, because of Christ in you? He said, ye are in me, and I am in you. Or do you just simply believe? Do you know him? I hardly ever ask if anyone's saved. I ask, do you know the Lord? Do you? Is he manifested in your life? Is he in you? Would he live in such a place? Know you not your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost? Is not one greater than the temple in there? Is not Christ in you? Tell me, sir, when did you die to sin? When did sin revive and you died? Romans 6:1. How shall we turn to Romans 6? If you're already probably still in Romans, just turn back a page. What shall we say then? Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were, what? Baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we, you, me, are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man's crucified with him. Is he? I'm crucified with Christ. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. You know how many times I've seen people die in Christ, so-called? Because they make a profession, they make some sort of belief, they worship the temple, and they just keep worshiping the temple, and they just keep, they've made whole religions out of that, and they have to take communion, and they have to get baptized, and they get baptized, and they get take communion, and they get, and over and over and over, and over again. You only do this once. For in that he died unto sin once. Do you know how many times I died unto sin? One time. And I got religious once, but I didn't die to sin. And that's what happens with at least 9 out of 10 people in this walk that I've met. They didn't die to sin. But in that he liveth unto God. One greater than the temple. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now those aren't just words on a page. To those that have experienced that. Do you know that word experience? I was there. Met a guy and I let him in front of me the other day at HEB. And because he had a veteran's cap on, and he was an old dude. He was born in 36. And he said, "What'd you do in the Air Force?" And I said, "I was an air traffic controller." And he said, "Did Reagan fire you?" And I said, "He did. I was there." We sang that song, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" Not simply words. They are manifestations of a reality. It's more sure than we sit here today. Romans 8:14. Many are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. That's not reading and following directions. You know, that's what religion is to most people. Reading and following directions. That's what we do in the natural. Reading and following directions. You need directions on how to be a child of God. See, that's the temple. That's the law. And that's what I told you we'd look at. Let's turn to Matthew 12. Look at verse 5. We could read the whole thing. You remember this? I hope you do. They picked corn on the Sabbath day. In verse 5, he said, "Or have you not read in the law how the Sabbath days the priests were in the temple?" In the temple, the directions. Or as Jeff would say, the template. "Profane the Sabbath and are blameless. But I say unto you, that in this place," where were they? In the temple. in the world is one greater than the temple. One greater than the temple. If you're in Christ, you take this book, this temple, and you're made manifest. This temple. This temple. It becomes clear what you are. A blood-washed, spirit-filled child of God. A son of God. Turn to John. It's also mentioned, if you ever look at Psalms 82, he says, and here said ye, and he said, ye are gods. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. That's in Psalms, and some folks go, okay. But turn in the New Testament to John chapter 10. In verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Is such your manifest? What's your eternal destiny? Well, how so? How can it be? You're either born again or you're not. You're either endued with power from on high or you're not. You're either filled with the Holy Ghost or you're not. You've either been born again in the Spirit of God or you haven't. The Holy Ghost either lives in you or he doesn't. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, one of my very, very favorite scriptures. For as many for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Image of his son. Is this perhaps why you can't preach, pray, or die? I shall fear no evil. To live is Christ. To die is gain. I'm asking what's manifest in your life. You got a temple. But with what is it filled? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11. He said, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? We know that. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And in verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we, you and I, have the mind of Christ. Do you have the mind of Christ? You either are or you aren't. They're better, you're manifest. There better be one greater than the temple on board. I read last night, you've heard me, I used to end almost every service with it. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Know ye not your own self? Examine your own self. Know ye not your own self? Examine your own self. You don't know your own self. You don't know if Jesus Christ is in you. Then you don't have the manifest. Does he not rightly tell us to make our calling and election sure, to work it out with fear and trembling, and to take it by force? How can you do those things that you can't? You cannot. Any wonder the churches are dead? Or perhaps you? Greater than the temple. He said there's one here greater than the temple.